Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillips. And remember, you can follow our show on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at grownfolk1980, and you can read all of his articles at playlikeajet.com. You can follow myself at CP7NY, and you can find our episode wherever you find your podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you can also find us on SportsWire Radio at sportsinarium.com/player. You can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017 for all the other scheduling of the old, all the other great shows on there. So, Sharman, another quiet week waiting for this football season to get going.
Yeah, to the three of our fans that always listen to us. We had to kind of apologize for that recording last week. I was in the midst of planning or help planning my son's wedding. And also, like Chris said, it's absolutely not that much to talk about NFL-wise, or let's say very little to talk about NFL-wise. So, yeah, for the first time in, what is it, Chris, 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've missed a couple recording episodes in a week, in a couple weeks. So, you know what? It was for a good cause, so.
There you go. Congratulations to the family.
Thank
you. Your son.
Thank you, sir.
And his wife. I don't mind. This is the time that I think all football fans hate, because it just drags out, which is a good thing, because it's the summer. You don't mind the summer dragging out a little bit, but
thank you.
you can't wait for it to come, and it's only a few weeks away, but it's like, hurry up and get here to camp to open, and so we could start seeing at least exhibition games, you know. The one thing we're finding out is that the Jets look like they still haven't announced it, which is pretty strange. On another side of it too, is that the Jets have not been, the Jets are probably going to be named to be featured on Hard Knocks this year. Now, the only thing that seems weird, not just that the Jets haven't been named yet, but nobody's been named yet, right? Because Hard Knocks, they usually start pushing that show in like March or April or even May, where they start to commercials and or whatever, and online. And Harry Mirov of At My Sports Update put up for the last 13 years, 12 years since 2010, all the dates. And the earliest somebody was promoted was us back in 2010, March 25th for the Jets. The latest was June 15th of 2013.
Sheesh.
For the Bengals season. Everything else, you know, it's already been, you know, out there and promoted. I find it weird that no team wants to do it, you know. I find it a little strange about that, because it's good for the game. You know, fans, I love watching it. It gives you a great behind the scenes look at the teams, on how they prepare and all that stuff. So what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's odd, because I know teams get really iffy about sharing their off-season system. I know sometimes it changed per year, but most of the time there's a foundation of things, especially if you're talking about a team that has had the same coach and general manager for a while. I think there are specific things that they kind of try to keep on the wraps. The good thing about it, the crazy thing about it, is that according to, you know, what I've heard, I could be wrong, that the team has a big, plays a huge part in the editing process. So taking out information that they don't want there is, you know, is something that's pretty easy on the, you know, under the system. So I don't understand, like you said, I don't understand why teams don't want to do it. One reason I would say is that the Jets have their own kind of Hard Knock Life show that they've spent, or they spend tons of money recording every year, because they basically have a whole production company working at One Jets Drive, doing their own Jets show every year for the last how many years now, Chris?
Yeah, it's been like for a few years now. They've been producing their own show, which is cool.
Yeah, it is really cool that they do that, and it's their own thing. And in my opinion, I've seen other teams do their own show, and the Jets, by far, in my opinion, and production wise, beat them by a ton. And it's crazy because I've actually tried to multiple times came so close to bringing up that subject to you offline, where we were talking, you know, we would talk about it, you know, we always have our little conversations. It's just odd to me that off the field is where the Jets beat everybody. It's crazy. But
yes,
you know, because I've watched some of this, and it's disappointing, in my opinion, some of the stuff that some of those teams do, teams that I'm like, what? This is like low rent, low budget type stuff.
Right.
What the Jets do is not, man, it's high end, top notch. And even the, like, you could tell that it's a seasoned production team, because the way they edit tells a story. They consistently tell a story. And you might say that you could see the hands of the front office or ownership in it sometimes, because they want to hide certain things and they want to display certain things. But I don't care. There is a level of drama to it that's kind of, you know, it's crazy. So I say all this to say, there might, if you're looking for a reason why the Jets don't want to be part of that, is the Jets basically the Jets probably have a deal with, you know, for however long it is, they have a deal with their production company. So bringing in HBOs, how is that going to work?
Right.
Right. That would be the question, no?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. And you know what might be part of it too is, I don't know if it is, but the Hollywood writer strike too. I wonder if that has something to do with why they're, you know, delaying the start of it, or at least promoting it. Whether it's the Jets or someone else, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what the tie would be. What the kind of a what's the ties there between? I know what the writers do, but I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe the product. Maybe producers are kind of with, you know, to show that they're, you know, in the same, you know, that they're arm in arm with their buddies writers, that they're, you know, kind of taking it slow and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
it is definitely odd that is. But to the subject that everyone is freaking out about, the Jets don't not wanting to do this, I think, like I said offline earlier, I think there's a stigma surrounding the show. You know, the only really, well, who was the best team that ever did Hard Knocks? The Ravens?
Yeah, that was at the very beginning.
Exactly.
Know, but think about it this way. The year the Jets did it in 2010, they made it all the way to the AFC Championship game. So it obviously had no effect on them whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was our last time, if you want to say it that way.
But then, yeah. I mean, you're talking to Jets fans. So anything like that, you know.
That's it.
You know what happened last time, you know.
I found it interesting that I think it was Everything NY Jets podcast put up a clip about Coach Westhoff saying that, and they asked him about it. How was it? Was it was it intrusive at all or anything like that? And he basically said, listen, I didn't even know they were there.
Wow.
So he goes, the only time I knew they were there is when they interviewed me. That was it. Otherwise, he goes, I had no idea they were there.
Yeah, because I saw some another Jets fan post something about questioning the whole thing about the Jets don't want distractions, which has any Jets employee, coach, player, front office, owner said anything about the Jets, about thinking that this could be a distraction? I haven't heard of it. I could be wrong.
You know what?
Because there's 100 cameras on that field anyway.
Right. So
even at practice, there's cameras.
Listen, if that's going to be a distraction for you, you know, if that's going to be a distraction for the players, the coaches, the staff, then we got problems. Right? Think about it. We're going to be on how many primetime games?
Oh.
So I think I'm not saying it'll be better, but you know what? I don't think it should bother them whatsoever if it's there. But I get what you're saying is maybe, yeah, they don't want to give out some plays that they're working on or something like that. But
but like I said, they have the ability to help edit this stuff and take the stuff that they don't want to show out.
Right.
So that doesn't bother me. The only thing to me that would be an issue, again, as if there's a contract between the Jets and this production team that they've put together, right? That's basically their own, that they probably have a contract for a foreseeable future with them. It might interfere with the contract if they bring in HBO.
Right.
Because now you have somebody basically stepping all over your stuff. And as a production company, I would think that it would, you know, unless that company and HBO comes to some kind of agreement on how they're going to do things, which I've seen producers work and they're not the sort to lie to, you know, individualism is a big thing in the production. From what I can find anyway, somebody could correct me. I only know a few actual producers, but it sounds or it feels like that's what it is for them, because they don't like people infringing on their space. So that might be an issue. That sounds more like a real issue to me than anything else somebody has ever said, in my opinion.
Right. I agree. And I think if there's going to be a problem between the NFL and, you know, this production company and HBO, then that's something the NFL has to figure out. Right.
Yep.
I think.
And that might, and let's say, so which other team would have, I think the production of the Jets would be a bigger scene than normal, right?
Yeah.
Than any other team in the NFL right now. So if you're negotiating with any team in the NFL, the one that would take the longest negotiating or fixing would be the New York Jets. So if you want an indication of where they're leaning, you might say the reason why they're taking that long, it's incredibly possible that the Jets are the team that they're working on right now, because this is the only team that would take all this agreements and contracts and incredible size production, because this is New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe that's an indication of maybe this is what's going to happen this season, that the Jets are going to be on hard knocks. You know, because I can't think of any other team right now that has a bigger pool than the Jets right now. So,
and I think they were one of, I think, three or four teams that fit the criteria to be on it, because if there's certain criterias on if you could make, you know, if you could be kind of forced into doing it. And it was
really,
yeah, it was if you didn't make the playoffs, if you didn't have a new coach, I forgot what there was two or three things that were, if you met all of those three, then you would be okay. If you didn't, then you would not be okay to be on it. For me, like, what? This is the way I looked at it. to I don't mind if the Jets are on it. I would love it if they were on it because it was great in 2010. Maybe it wouldn't be as good because, you know, because Rex Ryan made it that much better because of his whole character and everything. But the way I see it, I think every year it should be a different team and just do it that way, you know, do a different team every single season. So this way, no team could complain like, oh, we did it already 2 years ago. Like the Cowboys have been on it, I think, two or three times.
Like, yeah.
Nobody wants to see them anyway to begin with. But, at least I know I don't.
Like, I wonder why.
I really don't want to see them. But no, I'd rather see a different team every single year. So this way, it's fair to everybody. You know, the team can't say, oh, we did it already. I don't want to do it again. This way, you know, it just makes it fair. But I'm okay with the Jets. And especially after Coach Westhoff said that he didn't even realize they were there. So I'm totally okay with them being on it. And I think it would be awesome, especially, listen, we have a lot of storylines going on this team.
A ton.
I think HBO and the NFL would love to have the Jets on there because of that, you know, rather than, let's say, Washington, you know, like, do you really
Chris,
want
to something just appeared in my head, right? And I just to play devil's advocate here. Let's say you are the Jets and you don't want this show, right? Something that has kind of been the calling card of the Joe Douglas era in New York is this incredibly, I don't know how to say it. There is a tight.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, I think you knew.
Yeah.
It's almost, it's a suffocating silence.
Yeah.
That's around the New York Jets. There is absolutely no information leaking out of that locker room and that front office and that organization. It's incredible.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like this. I remember as a Jets fan, that year after year, coach after coach, there always seemed to be these massive leaks of information about good things, about horrible things. That as Jets fans, I remember that was always a conversation we had. Was this? I remember people blaming the owner and saying, "Man, he has to have a hand in this," and we just couldn't figure out what the deal was. And then all of a sudden, Joe Douglas comes in, and at first it was very little, like it wasn't as big. There was small amounts of things that would leak out, but there was a dark silence about certain things, to the point where people used to be like, what are we not talking? Why are we not talking about this? And little by little, it's consuming all these other topics, you know, that coaches and players would, they don't even dance around stuff. They just don't say anything.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yep.
They talk, but they just don't talk about anything. I remember just how the whole question to Quincy Williams about his brother, he shut that question down so quickly that I was like, wow. Because his first interview after his deal, they asked him, you know, other than the kid, the baby, baby's is going to be born very soon. Do you and your brother spend time talking about his contract situation? And the dude was like, I told you before, this is all we talk about home is the birth or the upcoming birth of my niece. And then that was it. And he I think I used the wording wrong, but basically that's kind of what he said it, but he said it in a tone and in a kind of you know, like there was a finality to his words that the guy asking the question, who is the professional, I think he was like not only taken aback, but he basically had no choice but to not go there, you know. And we've seen other people ask. I think the guys that are more talkative are the younger players. But even then, there's a way they're skirting by a lot of stuff, man. You know, I don't know if it's because there's so much big news going on and people are willing to ask questions about Aaron Rodgers more often than they are about other things. I don't know. So I'm saying all this to say that maybe, you know, they want to keep that, right, you know, suffocate in silence.
What? And you might be right. That's probably it. They like that. No, you know, like nothing gets leaked out, you know, nothing, signings, draft picks, anything. So I think it's more that what you're saying. I think you're onto something. I think that's exactly why the team doesn't want it. It's not a distraction. It won't be a distraction. It's cameras, you know, whatever. They're picking up stuff. And like you said, they could edit out things that they don't want to be seen. But I think that aura of we want everything kept in-house, that's the way they want it kept, you know. And with watching Hard Knocks, you see that certain things, maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't see, you know, some of these meetings, the player meetings that they have and stuff like that, stuff that's said between a coach and a player, you know, that it's great for a fan to see, but maybe the Jets want to keep it that way that we don't see it. So I get that part. So I think, yeah, that's probably the reason why, you know. Another thing I seen this past week, I don't know if you've seen it. It was on HBO's Real Sport. And if you get a chance to check it out, this month's episode is they talked about the punter, Matt Araiza.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we brought in for a tryout.
Right. Yeah.
And they got more into detail about what happened that night and all this kind of stuff. And basically, without getting into details, because it's awful details, basically he's seen this girl outside of the frat house or wherever they were at. They were on the side. They had their own thing, right? They did something on the side, not to get to details, but they did something on the side. And then she went back in and he had left. At that point, she went back into this house and she went in and was telling everybody, not that she was with him, but she would go up to guys and say, listen, I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me, you know, in that way, not in that exact way, in a much dirtier way. And I'm not going to.
Of course.
Okay. But so that led to the incident of what happened. Okay. Now. He was not there and he was cleared, like the investigators, all that. They cleared it that he was not there. So he's not getting any criminal charges at all. Criminal charges were dropped against him. But now there's a civil suit against him. That his actions with her led to what happened to her with other people. Now, that makes no sense to me, but that's basically what's going on right now. So maybe that's why teams are not going, you know, and trying to sign this kid. I mean, he's 23 years old, 24 years old. He's in his prime. This kid's, you know, kicking 90-yard punts in college. So he's got the leg, obviously. So I don't know. I think that's what's holding back any teams because there's a civil lawsuit against him, and maybe that's bad PR. But it's very interesting. If you get a chance, it's on HBO Real Sports, and it was a great – in-depth look into it, and they explained the whole scenario and all that. So
I'll check it out. There is from individuals to teams to organizations, there are a few topics or happenings or events or circumstances that are just a complete no-no at this time.
Right.
And just being in the vicinity of any one of these things will basically put a complete end to your career, whatever it is. And unfortunately for him, no matter how What's the word I'm looking for? They both came together and they did their deal. However, they both agreed to do it. It does not matter. Once she said that he was involved and she was hurt as a woman, it's over.
Yeah.
There is no questioning if he was wrong or if he was right, or it was just, things, a thing that happens between human beings every night in the United States, probably a million times. Does not matter. There is an atmosphere right now of complete, there's no, I'm trying to find the right words because I don't really want to go into depth
Oh, I know what you mean. Listen,
into it, but
to
yeah, he the fact that he was anywhere near this stained him forever. It's unfair, but that's just how it is. That's just the at the moment, this is what's going on. There is no coming, there's almost no coming back from it.
right.
There might be one team that might just, because again, the NFL is one of those places where you're talking about the kind of power that an owner has, that he is not really subject to the laws. And I'm not talking about actual laws. I'm talking about our societal laws, where he could just, shut his ears and just do it. And people would be talking about it or whatever, And it is what it is. You it's crazy. The Browns signed what's his name? Recently, quarterback, right in the middle of an incredible detailed description of bad behavior, and people were killing them, and that thing just kind of slowly but surely went away. You know what I mean? If to me, if the kid is that good in practice and he's showing teams, I think there'll be somebody to take a chance on him.
Yeah, I think eventually, because he's got some leg. I mean, this guy is
Yeah.
ridiculous. I mean, if you look up punter highlights, he's probably the only person you would look up for punter highlights in college, but he's got a ridiculous leg. And listen, the guy made a mistake, definitely in some way.
He's a kid.
Right,
He's a
exactly.
kid. This is one of the things that you try to your best to let your son know to never do. But unfortunately, peer pressure and the circumstances in college, you just cross your fingers, man, that you taught them well enough that they don't get involved in that stuff. But you can't say that they won't. You
No.
can't say that they won't. And the craziest thing about it is that, does that mean that his career should be over because he made a mistake like that? That's the thing. But unfortunately, again, that's just how it is. At the moment, you cannot make that mistake, because there is an incredibly severe punishment that will be handed down, and not by the powers that be, but by society itself. We have deemed it a no-no completely, that you had nothing, not even within any space, not a mile, not 2 miles, does not matter. Once you were around, and you had an and you had and your name carries some weight, no matter how small of it is,
Right.
you will be completely destroyed by it. And it's unfortunate that the that young people end up in these situations. But I think I'll speak for myself that in my years, I made mistakes. If TV, if I was some kind of superstar, I think they would cancel me too. So I don't know. I don't know
Hey.
what to say.
Right. At the end of the day, you gotta just be careful on who you're spending time with.
Yeah, but my point about that is that you could be as careful as you can, you know.
Still be right. I know what you mean.
Yeah, and you could still end up being in an issue. That's right. because this is the, you know, this is the kind of time, this is the times we live in. It's just what it is, you know. So, you know, I hope, I, to tell you the truth, I hope that the kid does get a second chance. I'm not one for the complete, you know, dissolution of a kid just because he made a mistake. You know, I would hope that he learns his lesson, and that's something that never happens again, you know. But
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he's learned his lesson from this.
Oh man, if you don't learn from this,
yeah, no.
I don't know what to tell you, because this is sheesh.
I do think someone's gonna give him another chance at some point. You know, it may not be it may be until this civil lawsuit is over with. This way it's out and that's it, it's done. But you know, because while it's open, you know, some people, if they don't know the case, if they don't know exactly what happened, they just know, oh, this is the guy that was accused of being, you know, a gang rape or something.
That's it.
Right. They're not going to think, wait a minute, what's the real story here? Like, but sure, you'll understand. Like, all right, he made a mistake in one way, but no, it's not a, it's definitely, there was no rape involved. It was just, you know,
bad. Yeah.
That's what.
That was it. His name got tied to it, and that was the end of that.
That's all it takes sometimes, as they say, right?
Yeah, true.
But all right, so let's move on. We got two more positions to cover in our preview in the Jets, and we're going to get one more of our position that we're a little concerned, not a little, kind of concerned about here, is the linebacker position. I'm going to randle off a couple of names. This way we have an idea of who we got. Obviously, it's led by C.J. Mosley. But then after that, you got Quincy. Right? You got Quincy Williams. And then we drafted Zaire Barnes. We signed Chaz Surratt. That's really about it.
You forgot about Nasruddin.
Nasruddin, right.
And Jamie Sherwood.
Jamie Sherwood, right.
Yep.
That's
about it. That's what we got. I think there's other names, but those guys, I think, bodies at this point. Nobody that we know.
If C.J. Mosley gets hurt.
I think Sherwood would be the one to step in. He's had snaps at Mosley's position. I think we cannot have linebacker conversation unless we really explain the difference between playing 2023 NFL football as a linebacker and what we used to know as linebackers. Linebackers spend more time running or going backwards than forward anymore. The base formation for defenses in the NFL is not single back. What you'd say with two safeties back, three linebackers down, four linemen down, two corners. Basically, that used to be the base, right? There's no three linebackers anymore. The third linebacker has become a cornerback, or what we call nickel. The nickel basically is on the field almost all the time. If you want proof of that, go look up our nickels snaps, and you will know how much time he's on the field. It's incredible. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but yeah, his snap count is really high. Because he's not on first down, you'd think you want bodies, so you're asking, but you're going to be asking this guy to play third linebacker, which is crazy, right? Because he's of his size. But teams have figured out a way to cover him. And because at first there were teams that were, you know, kind of run at him, you know. But that also kind of opens you up for a lot of things on defenses could do to you if you're trying to run out there. So there's a yin and a yang between There's kind of a pulling and pushing between defenses and offenses when it comes to how to attack each other. And right now, the defense's answer to what offenses do is to have two linebackers, and they're interchangeable. So there's not even really a Sam linebacker, like you would say, was a strong side linebacker who was normally fit on the side, on the play side of any play, where it would normally be where the tight end is, on where the tight end lines up, and you would call the wheel linebacker, which is the other side of the field, would be a little bit more of a guy that would run and cover. But that's not even a thing anymore, because teams' offenses could attack each and every position no matter what, because again, we're talking about three wide receivers on the field. So you have to have linebackers that can run and cover, but at the same time be able to run downfield and understand breakdown run fits and blow up a play in the backfield. I think Quincy Williams has shown flashes of that kind of linebacker, where he could cover. And we know by his celebration that he could come downhill and hit like some of the best linebackers in the NFL. The problem is a lot of those big hits come in between a barrage of incredibly bad mistakes, bad angles, missed tackles. I think one of the things I think he really did well last year was the use of his eyes got better, where he was able to kind of break down how offenses were trying to attack him. He was a little bit more patient. A lot. I think that really helped the Jets in a lot because he wasn't all the time trying to get a big play, but they still caught him out there. And I think that that's where, if he could bring together the patience that he showed last year with those big hits and big plays, when you put the kind of meld those together, I think you have an incredibly good linebacker. The problem is they're so few and far between the time when he brings all of it together. So that's for Quincy. Mosley is still an elite level linebacker because he's smart and he understands the game on a high level. I think you could tell that he's still not the same linebacker, but he fits what the Jets do well. There's things about his game that you could kind of nitpick and you could say, hey man, he's not the same guy, which, in my opinion, why not? Yeah, he's been in the league for a while, so you can't ask a guy to be in the league for that long and, he hasn't lost a step here and there. Right. But I think he had a good showing last year. I think it was better than most thought. I think looking a little deeper into it, I think it was better than most thought. He is not, there is linebackers in the league that are far better than him. I think he's not the top three guy he used to be. I think he's a cut below that, but that doesn't make him a bad linebacker. The question is Jimmy Sherwood ready to take that step into that position? And I don't know, man. I don't want to say I don't know. I want to say that I don't think so.
Right.
Athleticism, sketchy for me. I think in a straight line, he's good. I think moving laterally is a problem. I don't know if it's a brain thing, because if you used to be a safety, you shouldn't have lateral movement issues. So I don't know. And I remember when he was coming out, he was touted as incredibly smart. So I'm asking myself, how are you incredibly smart and then you come into a system this system and then you're not. I think it was explained to me by a couple people that this system is incredibly difficult to learn and understand, because there's so a lot of parts have to be interchangeable, meaning you on one play might be the Sam and then on the next play be the Will, depending on the play. That's how the defense is set up. There's a lot of interchangeable parts being played. And that's what makes the scheme work. And you have to know your job and the next guy's job as well. And probably that's what he's struggling at. And being that he wasn't a linebacker, that he was a born safety, probably is the reason why it's taking him so long to learn. I thought that Chaz Surratt would have showed his face a little bit, because I liked him. I think it was in North Carolina he came from. Yeah, I think in North Carolina he came from. Yeah.
We talked about him a little bit coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he showed potential. But these are those things that you just cannot really, you can't really, you know, put your finger on why players don't transition to the pros as well as they should. There's a credible amount of players that are by the football wayside that were supposed to be great football players and never turned out to be. So we know there's no exact science at any of these positions. You don't know what these guys could do. Or what they would be. But I still think, what's that?
I think a lot of guys can't pick up the speed of the game.
Yeah, and because it's not only being, because when you say the speed of the game, I think at the heart of what you say is processing speed.
Right.
Because it's not that you can't run fast. No, it's being able to understand what's happening, you know, at the speed. There is so much happening in 1 second. One of the reasons why I love football is the explanation of everything that's happening pre-snap to post-snap. There is an exchange of information between the quarterback and the running back and the offensive linemen and the wide receivers, and then there is there's the same thing going on with the defense, and the defense is reacting to what the offense do, and the tells or the keys that make a play what it is could change in an instant. So a linebacker could read a pin and pull, but a pin and pull is just a foundational play on an offensive line that could make up 10 different types of plays. You know what I mean? So off of a pin and pull, like, just to break it down, off of a pin and pull, you could run counter behind that. But that does not mean counter is what's coming. It could be a myriad of other different run plays, you know? So understanding that it's a pin and pull is one thing. But also doing enough study on tape to know what the tendencies of this team is when they call this play is another different, you know, level of thing. And as a linebacker, I think, again, tape study is what separates linebackers, I think forever. I think and you could study a lot, and the other part is being able to take that information and bring it to the field every day and implement it when you need it most, which is that split second just before the ball is snapped. It's an incredibly difficult position. And now that it's not just coming downfield, and it's also being able to drop back and play coverage, which is another, oh man. It is incredibly complicated understanding the difference between, because there's times when you're supposed to line up like you're playing zone, but you're not playing zone, you're playing man, or you got to line up like you're playing man, but then you're playing zone, or sometimes it, you know, you know, it's crazy. So I this my explanation for all this is the complicated nature of the scheme is partly the reason why you see a slow growth from some of these players. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of them are just, they're just not going to be the guy, you know, or they're just not the guy. But I think, and there's a reason too, that the Jets are looking for specific types of players. If you see the pick, the Zaire Barnes pick, I think the little I know about him is started a bunch of games. So he has an incredible amount of experience at the position. Very good in space, right? Kind of iffy tackler at times, but when he does, he does do it well. And in that way, he reminds me a lot of Quincy Williams. Like, he's the second coming, basically, in my opinion. He's a little bit taller than him. Basically the same size. Williams being about 225 and Barnes being about 230, 232, about that. So that, to me, I'm picking Barnes tells you that the Quincy Williams does fit what they actually look for. And he kind of plays like Quincy that way. And he has the kind of flashes of, you know, downhill, blow up a player in the backfield type, and could run enough in space laterally that he could cover. So maybe that's why Barnes is a name that's quietly being, you know, whispered around training camp a little bit from what I saw online. So it makes sense because he kind of fits that kind of what the Jets want at linebacker.
So do you feel do you feel more comfortable or less comfortable with the safety position compared to the linebacker position? Like, which one do you feel a little bit concerned about? If either one.
That's a great question. I will tell you this, right? And I know that the circumstances and the teams that the Jets are playing this year are wholly different from who they playing this year. What they play last year and who they're playing this year is going to be totally different. So these guys are going to be seeing a different type of team. And also, teams have another year of tape to watch the Jets defense and try to decipher it. But Jets safeties were incredibly horrible last year. I think it wouldn't be far-fetched to say that the Jets safety tandem was probably the worst in the NFL. And they still ranked in the top 10. So a combination of Amos and Whitehead should be at least 5 to 8 spots better. So if they should be, I'm not guaranteeing it. Well, the one thing we know for sure is Mosley and Quincy Williams, even if they're not world beaters, they've kind of found themselves in a spot. They're not flashy good, you know, we're like, oh, we got so many good linebackers. Our linebackers are so good. We're kind of iffy, shaky about them. But they kind of show up, you know. They kind of do their job, you know. It's not really nice to see, and it's not flashy, and sometimes, to tell you the truth, it's scary because, again, they'll have one or two plays where they whiff so bad, that is chilling, and then you're like, man, I'm hoping that teams are not finding, you know, a way to kind of, you know, beat up on our linebackers, But then there's adjustments made, which are something people don't talk about a lot about Robert Saleh and defensive coordinator, just defensive coordinator. Forget his name. But anyway.
Ulbricht.
Yes, thank you. The one thing they're not talking about is after the first Jets season, even at the end of that first season with Ulbrich as the defensive coordinator, there's been a quiet shift from that we're going to do things our way to a lot of small changes from play to play that makes a big difference in how teams attack the Jets. I made that point to Coach Koo on Twitter. When I made a point to talk about the linebackers to Coach Koo on Twitter at one point, and he kind of shot back that he thought that the linebackers were good enough last year because the Jets made a decision to change things or change plays or the way they attack plays come, you know, in a lot of ways. And I think people don't talk about a lot about the adjustments that defensive coaching room has made to help those guys play. So I at this point, I feel more comfortable with Mosley and Williams because I just don't know what White. I know for sure that I did not like how Whitehead played last year. But I think maybe, not like maybe, I'll take that back. Amos is definitely better than that guy. Even if he hasn't set foot on the field for 1 second for the Jets, that guy that played free safety for us last year is definitely worse than Adrian Amos.
Yeah, so we should be a little better at best.
Yes, sir.
So going back to what you were saying about percentage of the snaps, who do you think who do you think is the top four in snap percentage? Now, top four, these guys were 97% and better on defense, these four players. And they were the only ones in the 90%.
I know Mosley's one of them.
He was the fourth at 97.89%.
And like I said, I definitely think Michael Carter, the two played, was in it.
He was high, but not the top four. He was
at really
64%.
What? Damn, I got to go back and watch some tape. Okay, so definitely the corners.
Yeah, the next three are all DBs. I'll give you that. The top three are all DBs.
So Whitehead, Sauce, and Reed?
Yep. DJ Reed, 99.82%. Whitehead, 99.30%. And Sauce was 97.98%.
So in other words, when they took Carter 2 off the field, Whitehead was coming down in the box.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Wow. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. That's a great adjustment.
And
that's why he looked so bad. Because you're asking the dude that's, in my opinion, like, he looked worse. He looked his worst. Because he was exposed. Teams basically kind of just, you know, because I don't think athletically he's the best. I think they really took advantage of him. That's probably the reason why he looked so bad.
So where do you think Whitehead should play more free safety, you mean?
No. No at all. Oh. That's the thing. You would be worse back there.
Oh, so you
he
want
to be worse? I think his best position is where he was.
Oh, okay.
But he just had a bad year, and a lot of the time, see, this is the game within the game, right? When you are an NFL player and you have a weakness, everybody knows, man. Once they find out, that's it. It's over. You know what I mean? And because you're such a big part of what, you know, what the Jets do on defense, because he wasn't coming off the field. So you can't, you know. So teams saw this guy on tape over and over again, and they just figured out how to beat him.
Right.
How to make him look bad. And maybe he just didn't make enough adjustments, or they didn't make enough adjustments to help him, or they just couldn't because they didn't have a player that they wanted to put in that position that would win. his percentage of wins would be better. And that's where the numbers come in. A lot of those numbers that they follow, sometimes I can't remember where I was listening to a podcast at some point. I want to say my guys at Bootleg Podcast, shout out. The incredible detailed numbers that teams look at. Like, okay, you how many times you are in the box and how many times you face the linebacker? How many times you face the running back? How many times you face a wide receiver? How many times you played zone? And every time, what did you do? How did you do it? How did you react? They follow everything. And if there is any thread that shows that you're weak at something, they will nitpick the hell out of it. And yeah, it's possible that they just, you know, and it's up to the Jets now to find a way to take him out of that position and kind of put him in a position of strength. You know, so we'll see. I think there's other stuff that we're just not talking about that I think down the road we're going to talk about more. I think pass rush wise, I don't think as good as the Jets was, I think the Jets could have been way better. And I think the Jets would be way better this year. So you put one of the best pressure teams in the NFL last year, and I'm telling you that they could be much better. Yeah, they could be. Trust me. And that will negate a lot of the nitpicking because you will not have time to do all that picking. If the Jets are all out coming at you with just four people, you know, so we'll see what goes, you know, maybe one of those youngins step up, you know, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know what, before we go, I know a lot of people are talking about, or there was rumors that the Jets are looking to trade Bryce Huff and everything else. People are like, oh, we can't get rid of him. Just looking at these raw numbers, he played in 16.78% of the snaps.
Yeah, nothing.
That's crazy.
Very low. Yeah.
For a guy we can't lose. I mean, I don't want to see him get traded, to be honest. I don't. I mean, but, I mean, we're talking about a guy who played in 16% of the defensive snaps.
Now you see why the Jets drafted the player they drafted in the first round.
Right, exactly.
Because basically what they're getting is a better Bryce Huff.
And hopefully more.
Bigger, longer, stronger, and about the same. The craziest thing is he weighs more. Well, does he really weigh more than him? I don't know. You remember if he does. Because the kid is he's 255 Huff is, and yeah, he does weigh because he's stocky, so he does weigh more. The thing that gets me with Huff is that he does not have the arm length. All he has is that get off, and it's elite. It right. is. The problem is he is a liability on the edge. And everybody's like, well, give him more snaps. Why? You out of your mind? I don't know, man. I don't see him being that good at runs, at holding the edge, you know? Because his game is the get off, right? I have not seen him in a situation where he'd be like, hey, we need to string this run out. Blow up a tight end, blow up a defensive end, get in the backfield, tackle. No. Guess who's better at this? Jermaine Johnson. He showed you that guess who's better than that at doing that? Michael Clemens. He showed you. You know, and the crazy thing about Will McDonald is that he was playing on basically on the interior. Against guys bigger and stronger than him. So he made it from college with numbers that look crazy from playing inside when we know his skill set is more for what Huff does best. So I don't like talent leaving the Jets, but when you break it down, Bryce Huff is incredibly promising, and you know how much of a fan I am. I have a shirt of him. I think the kid is special. But if you're gonna tell me that you're gonna just go all in, I would say question yourself here, because this is the NFL, man. Like, unless you could prove to me that you could do both, I'm not taking it. You know, I'm not going all in and saying that you're gonna be this guy. Not when my scheme calls for you to hit, to play more snaps and be able to do both. Like I said, position interchangeable. Every position is interchangeable on that team, almost. You know, so sometimes you have to be able to play the run, and sometimes you have to do what you do best, which is, you know, get off the ball quicker than anybody else. And yeah, he's shown flashes of strength, but is that something that you could depend on?
Right.
255? I don't know, man. 255 with short arms is a problem on the edge,
right?
In my opinion, when you have a tackle or tight ends with their arm length is almost double yours, they get to your chest before you could get to them. You know, so I don't know, man. I'm not counting the kid out. But people saying that he's untouchable is kind of crazy for me.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point. Like, let's relax with the, well, we can't trade this guy. You know, I think he is tradable, but yeah, I don't want to give him away for a sixth round pick either or something.
Hell no.
Yeah. If the right deal is there, yeah, I absolutely make it. But no, not to trade him just to trade him is what I'm saying.
He's disruption. He's such a disruptor because of what is playing around him. The guys around him are not. The only guy, like I said, that might be as quick as he is Will McDonald. He hasn't played one snap. Everybody else that plays edge on the Jets, they're not on his level when it comes to get off. Nah. And that's what kills teams, is because everybody is playing at a certain speed, and all of a sudden this little dude is coming at you with, you understand me? Yeah. You're like, oh, what the hell? You know, so.
I think this is more of a, this happens when it's really quiet in the NFL, when there's no other news going on. People start picking up the smallest thing and blowing it up into something. You know, listen, he's probably not going to get traded, so I'm not concerned. But if he does, let's not lose our head here.
Collective minds.
Yeah, let's just relax. So, all right. So yes, anyway, sir. That's our show. Next week we'll be back. We're going to finish up with our corners, which is a position that we love on this team. We'll finish up with the corners and be ready for camp, and we'll get into it a little bit more. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.